This is Life Change Weekend. Welcome to Dino Padron Ministries interview program, which highlights the life-changing message of Jesus Christ in action. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 states, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And now, to introduce his guest, here's Dr. Dino Padron.
Life Change Weekend. I'm so glad you're listening into our program today. And we are delighted that you are joining us. Maybe some of you are traveling down the highway. Some of you perhaps are having that morning cup of coffee. You join us because on Life Change Weekend, we talk to people about their lives. Sometimes it's a testimony. Maybe it's a book written. Sometimes it has to do with a theological issue. And of course, monthly, we are delighted to have with us Pastor Bob Kadlecic. And Pastor Bob, good to have you with us. Sir, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. It's great to be here with you.
Well, it's good to see you. You always look the same, which is good. You know, you don't ever change like that. That's excellent.
As long as I have less white hair than you, I'm winning.
And I tell you what, everybody's got less white hair than I. And the unfortunate thing, most people are younger than I, which we won't get into today. Thank you so much for being on. I appreciate you coming on every month like this as well. The greatest moments in your life and the most important moments in your life happen in relationships. So how do we grow deeper, healthier, with better relationships with other people? Today we're going to talk, it's not about winning. And Pastor Bob, how do you address that? How do we grow deeper and healthier with better relationships? Because I think that's something everybody's interested in.
Well, yeah, that's really true. There are only three things that we interact with in our lives that last forever: God, His Word, and people. And nothing else matters except how they help us love God, His Word, or love people better. Loving God's Word and God never really comes in too much conflict, but loving other people is really tricky sometimes. And if you're going to have healthy, strong, God-honoring relationships with other people, you need to know how to navigate conflict.
Hmm. Yeah, and I guess conflict is something we are all very, very familiar with, and I think conflict is such a strong issue. So how do we do that? What are some key biblical concepts you've learned to help us just survive interpersonal conflicts, but also thrive in them?
Yeah, so Romans 12, 17 through 18 is one of my favorite passages about conflict. It says, "Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." There's a lot in these verses, but it starts with don't repay evil for evil, because sin is so contagious. You know, when someone hurts me, I want to hurt them back. But God says we need to rethink our reactions. So I remember there was a time I was playing soccer in college, and I was punched below the belt by an opposing team player. And the referee didn't see it because it was away from the ball. And let me tell you, I wanted to take him out. I was studying to be a pastor, but if he hadn't run to the other side of the field, I would have leveled him. And this happens in sports all the time. You know, baseball, if a pitcher looks like he intentionally hit a player, the bench clears and there's this brawl, or the pitcher from the other team hits one of the other players in the next inning. And so, you know, when someone sins against you, you don't usually stop and say, "Oh, you've been having a bad day. How can I help?" We want to repay evil for evil. And this starts even as kids. You know, a kid takes a toy of another, and the response isn't, "That's okay. I have plenty of other options." You know, sinful people tend to respond sinfully when sinned against. And we are masters of justifying and rationalizing our behavior. I do marriage counseling on occasion, and it's almost never just one person's problem, because someone started it, but sinful people respond sinfully when sinned against. And Romans 12, 17 talks about that. Don't repay evil with evil.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking about the kid whose toy was taken, says it's okay. That child hasn't been born yet, has it?
Yeah.
And that adult hasn't been born yet either. So true. So it sounds easy as you share it with us, Pastor, but as you know, when that man punched you on the soccer field all those years ago, that desire to react and to repay was so strong. I can feel that when you say that and know exactly what you're talking about. So why is it so hard to not react and to not repay evil for evil?
Well, one of the reasons it's so difficult is because God has made us to have a physical reaction to conflict. And I'm just fascinated by science. And there's a lot of studies that have been done about what happens when physically when conflict is introduced. In fact, I brought a list of 7 biological changes that occur in conflict. And the first thing is your adrenal glands begin involving a number of hormones, including adrenaline. And basically, it prepares your body for vigorous emergency action, basically that fight or flight. So your adrenal glands kick in. Secondly, all non-essential processes in the body are switched off. So if you're digesting food, it's stopped, and you may notice, you know, a churning or feeling of nausea or sickness, butterflies in the stomach. Third, the liver releases glucose into the bloodstream for the purpose of giving strength to your muscles, and then oxygen is needed to burn that glucose, so your breathing increases and you might even feel breathless. And then having all that oxygen, your muscles, you know, the body's got to get that glucose and oxygen to the muscles as soon as possible, and so the heart begins beating faster. And some people, you know, notice heart palpitations, your blood pressure goes up, you might feel cold or hot and break into a sweat because your body's trying to dissipate the heat that's being generated by all those muscles getting ready. And finally, you know, if that continues for a while, you get headaches and backaches because all that tense muscles ready to fight. But the really fascinating part to me is what happens in the brain. And in 2 ways, the brain changes. First, reflexes and thinking is sped up. So people often notice racing thoughts. But the second thing is the blood supply to the frontal parts of the brain, which are responsible for reasoning and thinking, the blood that goes there is reduced. But the blood supply is increased to parts of the brain responsible for automatic, instinctive, impulsive decision-making. So in a conflict, we're more prone to impulsive behavior that often we later regret. Have you, Dr. Padron, have you ever felt any of those symptoms when you were in a conflict?
Well, you know, let me just tell you a brief story here, Pastor. I remember as a young pastor, I was asked to speak in a conference. It was like 4 times a year on Bible prophecy around different parts of the country. So I was delighted to do so. And I met one of the speakers there. Now, this conference would go on all week long, so often you didn't see the other speakers. You come in for a day or two. But another speaker became a good friend of mine, and he and I got into a real conflict over theology. Hmm. And, of course, I was right and he was wrong, you understand.
Of course.
That's how that works. And I remember I was angry, really angry with him, and the thing that I had was butterflies. I went home and I told my wife and I told her how wrong he was. And she did not seem to agree with me. And that bothered me, gave me some more butterflies. And then I told 2 or 3 good friends of mine, you know, people who knew theology. And they were like, what are you making a big deal out of this for? And so my thought was, all of them are wrong and they need to get right with God. I'm doing okay. But I'll never forget this. I did have the butterflies. And one morning at 3 o'clock, I woke up. And guess what I was thinking about? I was thinking about him. And unfortunately, at the beginning, I thought, well, I hope he's getting this right in his heart, you know. And then another morning, I'd wake up at 3 o'clock. And the next time we had a conference, I remember looking him up, and I said, his name was John. I said, John, we got to talk. So we went over and sat in a side room. And I said, John, I'm really sorry. And he said, no, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I said, no, I'm wrong. He said, no, I'm wrong. And we almost got into a conflict of who was right and wrong after a while. But I'll never forget, we got it right with each other, and the butterflies left. And I never again woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about that. But it's interesting, and it's so silly, Pastor, because I don't even remember what the argument was about. If you ask me what point of theology it was on, I have no idea today. But I think what you're saying here has tremendous value. And when you mentioned butterflies, boy, I remember that very well and very distinctly. And there's others here, too, that I've experienced in my life. So take us on. Where do we go from here with this now?
Yeah, well, we can't stand before God and say, well, my body made me do it. It's your fault. But I point this out because it's not just a spiritual problem. I've felt those butterflies too, and I never realize it's because the body is shutting stuff down to get ready to run or to fight. But so it's a physical, emotional, mental problem, and we need God's help to overcome that. And we need to prepare ahead of time to respond the right way to conflict. We all have triggers. Some people have road rage, and other people, when they're cut off, they just think, wow, I'm just so glad everyone's okay. So we may have different areas where we're triggered to enter into conflict, but there's always something that triggers us.
It's interesting as you were talking there again, going back to my little story that I gave, I try to hide it in my mind, just get it out of my mind, this will go away. As soon as I would do that, I saw somebody who looked like this guy. Or somebody would say something that brought this back. So I think what you're talking about here is a tremendous import in all of our lives. Conflict isn't just a spiritual problem, as you have said. Romans 12 tells us we should rethink some of our reactions. So go on and tell us a little bit about how to react to all of this and how we diagnose this sinful response to conflict.
Yeah, I think one of the things that helps me is figuring out what is my most common natural and sometimes sinful response to conflict, fight or flight. Mm. And there's different ways to fight. I mean, you can fight physically, verbally, emotionally. You can try to manipulate the other person's feelings. And there's different ways to run from a conflict. I mean, you can physically leave or you can just give in. Oh, you're right. When you know he's not right. Or you can clam up, and that's my typical response, is to clam up, to give a cold, silent treatment. And partially it's because I don't want to hurt the other individual, but sinfully it's also because I selfishly don't like how conflict feels. Mm. And sometimes avoiding conflict is what's easiest, but it's not what's best. If pushed enough, I can fight and I can be very sarcastic. That's never helped anyone become more like Jesus, but that's what I do. How about you? What is your most common default reaction to a conflict? Is it to fight verbally? Is it to run? What is it?
It's to run and put it in the back of my mind and say it really isn't that important. I often think of myself doing that over certain conflicts. If we pray about this long enough, it'll go away, that type of thing. If I take a vacation, this won't be here when I come back. Yeah. And so I think that is a very real issue. I'm built, so I want to move ahead. I'm very aggressive about moving ahead and doing things. I don't want to be stopped with a conflict, but I don't necessarily want to solve the conflict either when I get like that. So this is a real good study. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron chatting with you. Thank you so much for listening into our program today. It's a blessing having you with us. I do pray for myself now through the summer as I'm speaking in a number of Bible conferences in various parts of the country. And also, if you'd like to have a copy of our newsletter that tells you about what is happening, especially with some of our overseas ministry, simply go to send your postal or email address to dinapadrone@gmail.com. That's dinapedrone @gmail.com. So you said that what I mentioned, running from conflict, is wrong, but isn't that a good response to conflict? Just get out of there, escape? Is that better than fighting, or isn't it?
Well, yeah, there definitely are times when we need to remove ourselves from conflict. When you're angry and you get all that adrenaline flowing, it is better to take a walk, take a break, cool down. But the problem comes because I'm like you, is I want to run from the conflict. I don't want to come back to it. Mm. I don't ever want to address it. Mm. And when you care more about escaping conflict than resolving it, that's sinful. So Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. And that's refreshing to me because God's word is so true, and he realizes that sometimes it doesn't depend on you, and you can't live at peace with everyone. But as far as it does depend on you, live at peace with everyone. And the goal of a peacekeeper is not to give in and make everyone happy at all costs. That's not true peace, any more than winning an argument is peace. Winning and surrendering to get the other person to shut up is not peace. Peace is more than silence or the absence of arguing. Peace is not walking on eggshells and enabling a manipulator or a violent person to continue sinful behavior. People who want peace at all costs often apologize for what someone else did wrong. And that's not right, because it's not true. And it's not peace. So peace is more than the absence of conflict. Really, the goal isn't to have, you know, a superficial, surface level of non-conflict. The goal is to resolve the conflict. And to do that, you can't run away indefinitely. You have to come back at some point and seek a resolution.
That's really wise material that you're giving us there, the whole idea of what the goal is. Another thing I know in my own life, Pastor, is when I have realized I'm not going to be able to push this aside, if I'm put in a corner, that's when I do feel like I want to fight, come out, and let's get something on. But what you're giving us here really is good biblical answers. And you know what's interesting about this topic today is that this applies to everybody. We all have these issues.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit more about escape responses to conflict. What are some ways we can run instead of try to resolve a problem?
Well, there's five levels, and there's some good books about this. Ken Sandy wrote a book called Peacemaker that's really excellent. But five ways people try to escape conflict, each one gets progressively worse. The first one is denial. You pretend it didn't happen, something terrible was said or done, and it's like a switch was flipped, and it never happened. When you're outside of this and you see it happen, it's really weird. But denial is first. Stronger than denial and escape response is inward stewing. And I do this a lot. I don't say anything out loud, but I think about it. That is so unfair and wrong. I can't believe. And I have these pretend conversations about the situation, and they all end the same way. I win. I say something brilliant. The other person feels terrible. But it's all stuffed inward, and it's an escape. Number three is temporary flight. And again, sometimes this is good because, you know, it's an emotionally charged situation and you need to come back at a later time when you're, you know, more ready to handle it. But if you avoid a conflict for days, it's probably less about finding the right time and more about sinfully and selfishly escaping it. Number four is permanent flight. So this is quitting your job, getting a divorce, ending a friendship, changing churches. It's a pretty extreme escape response, but there's one that goes even farther than that, and it's suicide. You can't run farther than death. Suicide is the ultimate, most severe method of escape, and it's wrong. Romans 12:18 again says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And you can't do that if you're not even alive. It's an escape. It's not what peacemakers do.
Yeah, suicide is a devastating thing. And so we talked about different escape responses. What are some of the attack or fight responses that people might have?
Yeah, and again, there is an escalation to these things also. And number one starts with manipulation. And that can be done verbally or emotionally. I'm a really good talker. You're a really good talker. So there's a danger for people like us to manipulate in conflict through our words. You know, we can talk faster or logically beat others in an argument. But then there's also emotional manipulators. Man, they know how to lay on a guilt trip and make you feel terrible until you do what they want. And again, their goal is winning. After manipulation, even stronger is verbal assault. And so swearing, yelling, belittling, and you're just saying things to hurt the other person. And escalating from there is litigation, suing someone. And there are times when we need to go to court, but sometimes it's just another way to manipulate and hurt somebody. And 2 Corinthians says that as Christians, sometimes it's better to lose than to litigate. Because again, conflict isn't about winning. It's about pleasing God. Worse than litigation is physical assault. And men are, of course, more likely to do this than women in order to win a conflict. But women will sometimes do this as well. And I would just, in marriage especially, you know, if you're the wife, don't poke your finger into his chest. Don't grab his arm so that he doesn't leave the room. That's an attack response, and it will escalate the conflict. And of course, the worst, most severe fight response is murder. And it's the parallel of suicide. And obviously, we never want to go there. We might even think that's impossible to go that far. But each of these things escalate, and we need to stop conflict right at the beginning and before it does that. And so some people think the way they stop conflict is by eliminating all of the triggers, right? So if I just avoid you because you make me mad, but the truth is you can't always do that. And we need to take responsibility and realize, no, that you're not making me mad. I'm making myself mad. Conflict is unavoidable. And at some point, you need to deal with you. And that means rethinking your reactions.
You're listening into Life Change Weekend. I'm on here today with Pastor Bob Kadlecic. This is Dina Padron chatting with you. And we're having a fascinating conversation today that is titled, It's Not About Winning. And the information Pastor Bob is giving today is very helpful for all of us. Let's try to rethink some reactions right now. And so let's think back to some of the scenarios and tell us about what better response would be. A lot of moms would relate to this one. They've made a delicious dinner, cleaned the house from top to bottom, made his favorite dessert, but he shows no appreciation or acknowledgement. If our normal reaction is to withdraw and give the cold shoulder, what might the rethink your response reaction be? What would that be, Pastor?
Well, these are hard to do because there's so many factors, but I guess the first question I'd ask that wife is, has this happened before? And if so, have you clearly told him how you feel and what you'd want him to do? Because that would be the opposite of inward stewing that she'd naturally respond with. So instead of clamming up, have a conversation. Often women, my wife tells me this, if I have to tell you what I want, it doesn't count. And in an ideal world, that's true, but it's not an ideal world. And sometimes we just need it laid out for us. Even a loving, well-meaning husband needs to be trained and told how to better love his wife.
Okay, what about a husband whose wife constantly nags or complains about him? He just can't seem to do anything right. He normally blows up when it happens. How would he rethink his response the next time she criticizes him?
Well, let's take that even farther and say he's already talked to her about how this makes him feel and his need for encouragement, and it hasn't changed a thing. And I do think one of the things he needs to do is lower his expectations. It's not your job to make her happy, and her happiness or misery is not necessarily about you. I mean, early in our marriage, I was so self-centered. I thought everything Becky felt was about me. But I've come to realize that sometimes she's happy, and it's not because of me, and sometimes she's miserable, and it's not my fault either. And so if the problem is her criticism, rethinking your response means doing the opposite. Praise her. We live in a world that says you fight hate with more hate and criticism with more criticism, but it doesn't work. That's not God's way. And so the opposite of criticism is praise. And so maybe that critical wife needs your praise. Maybe she feels run down and runs you down because of that. So it may lessen her guilt by doing that. But so what she needs is not more criticism back. Maybe she needs to be lifted up and encouraged and praised.
Very good. I've got one more for you. Ready for one more, Pastor Bob?
Sure.
Let's say your coworker takes credit for the work you've done, and you want to humiliate him and get him back. In fact, I just had a phone call just a day ago about this kind of a situation. How do you not repay evil for evil in that situation?
Well, yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, so we make it our goal to please him. Every conflict in our life is an opportunity to please God, not to win the argument or look good. There's a Russian proverb that says, make peace with men and war with your sins. And so, you know, we're always like, he sinned first. But I guess to ask, what would Jesus do if his coworker took the credit? Now, I don't think it's wrong to let your boss know what actually happened, but instead of treating the coworker as an enemy, strategize, how can I, if it's possible, as far as it depends on me, live at peace with that man and pursue peace.
This has been an excellent study today, and Pastor, thank you so much. And about once a month, the last weekend of the month, we have Pastor Bob on, and I thank you with all your busy schedule, joining us here with the team of Life Change Weekend. And today we've been talking about it's not about winning. And it really isn't at the end of the day. And I think anybody who's lived long enough and looks at these kind of situations and responses recognizes that there's so much more to life than just about this concept of winning one with another. So again, Pastor Bob, thank you so much. Do pray for us as I'm speaking at a number of conferences throughout the summer. You can get our newsletter and get the information on those conferences. Simply get to us with a newsletter going to dinopedrone@gmail.com. That's dinopedrone@gmail.com, and give us your postal or email address. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Join us Monday now for Life Change Today.
Life Change Weekend is a listener-supported production of Dino Pedrone Ministries. To join with DPM's mission of helping individuals grow their faith, visit DinoPedroneMinistries.org. And don't miss Life Change Today, Dr. Pedrone's weekday Bible study. Check local listings for details.